Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Good morning, and good morning to you at Silverwater and City. We're delighted that you're all tuned in, and hopefully we're all tuned in here in Oxford Falls. We want to tune into the melody of heaven. That's what we want to do. Can I add my welcome to you? Both here, Silverwater and City, if you are visiting for the first time, it's great to have you. We've been looking at God's Ten Commandments, God's instructions as to how we ought to be living and thinking and acting. And it's my pleasure today to be able to unpack for you this morning and this evening two of those commandments. We've brought over with us a couple of books that might be of interest to you. One on the Ten Commandments, if you want to do further study. And if you've never read Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, it's one of the best stories that I have ever read. And it helps us about the journey to navigate. And then there's a book called What Does God Want of Us? Well, what a question that is. Where's my Reuben? Can you give those out, Reuben? If you're here for the first time and you would like one of those free, just put your hand up. And Reuben prophetically will be guided. Not pathetically. Do you know, I love honest prayers. I really do. I love it when people are really, really honest. And anyway, somebody prayed this prayer. Dear Lord, so far today, I'm doing all right. I've not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. I have not charged on my credit card. However, I'm going to get out of bed in a few minutes. And I will need a lot more help after that. Well, I'm sure you can empathize with that. Right, today the title is Take God Seriously. One of the first questions concerning a newborn child is, what is their name? We want to know what their name is. Because to know someone by name is the first step toward knowing that person. By the way, what I do, if you've not been to one of these sessions before, is I teach, unpack the commandment, and then when I conclude, if you feel what you've heard is relevant to you and you would like to engage with it and respond to it, then here at Oxford Falls, Silverwater and in City, we're going to invite you, if you like to respond, to get up out of your seat, out of the roads, and come to the front of each of those locations as your way of expressing your desire to apply what you've heard. Names are important, and if people remember your name, it shows they care. And if they don't remember your name, it's a little bit upsetting. And we associate certain things with certain names. For example, when I mention the word Adolf Hitler, straight away, certain things come to mind. Indescribable cruelty. Mention a name like Mother Teresa. Straight away, different thoughts come to mind. Admiration, good. You see, we're concerned for the reputation of our name. And if there are malicious stories going around about us, we don't like it. To the Israelites, in the Old Testament of the Bible, names were important. They gave their children significant names. The Israelites believed that the name of God was so sacred that when they wrote his name with a quill, they threw the quill away. And they'd use another one the next time they wrote his name down. They had an immense awe and reverence for the name of God. The name of God represents the nature of God. To dishonor the name is to dishonor him. Now, if we're going to be serious with God, we need to respect him. The third commandment states, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. So, how do we misuse God's name? Well, we misuse God's name when we use it to insult. When we use it to insult. Please repeat. When we use it to insult. In one dictionary, the first entry under the name of Jesus is, one, an exclamation of surprise and dismay. Two, the name of the founder of the Christian religion. In other words, Jesus is to be understood first as a common expletive and then as the name of the founder of Christianity. The word swearing means treating something sacred with abuse, contempt, or irreverence. And we have become numb. Just how often and indiscriminately we misuse God's name. My Lord as an exclamation. Oh my God as an expression of surprise. And the media casually uses these terms, God damn it, or Jesus Christ. And the media defends itself by saying that their productions and their programs are just a mere reflection of society. We must not allow films to desensitize us to the sacredness of God. My wife's name is Killy. Killy is the name of someone I love very much. And if people use my wife's name flippantly, well, that would concern me. In the same way, it should concern us when God's name is used in a callous way. Someone cuts you off in traffic, for heaven's sake. You miss the bus. Jesus Christ. A friend is getting married. Good God. You know, a child spills their drink. For goodness sake, God's sake. You know, God never intended for his name to be used as an exclamation and degenerate into a cliche. You know, what I'm really surprised. What I'm surprised about is, you know, let's say you're in your garden and you're hammering two pieces of wood together, right? You're hammering the wood. You miss and you hit your thumb. We don't kind of go, ooh, Buddha. Do we? You know, you're just kind of walking into the bathroom and you knock your head on the door. We don't kind of go, ooh, Elvis Presley. Now, that is interesting, isn't it? Why do we have to blame Jesus? When we use God's name frivolously, we dishonor God and we display irreverence. Let me ask you two questions. Are you blaming God for something that he didn't cause? You see, when something good happens, people say, aren't I lucky? When something bad happens, people say, why did God let that happen? Wait a minute, where's the logic in that? There's a lot of reflex religion today. Whenever someone gets into trouble, they suddenly call out to God for help. And if they get out of trouble, they forget God completely. Second question. Are you giving God adequate credit for all he has done and is doing? The fact that God silently allows the human race to take the credit for advancements doesn't mean he hasn't been ultimately responsible for them. Maybe coincidences are God's way of remaining anonymous. there was a family, they just acquired a new kitten. And they were in the garden, it was one hot sunny Saturday afternoon, and they're all very excited with their new little kitten. They're trying to give the kitten a little bit of confidence, and so they put it up on a tree, and it runs up the tree, and it slips off this huge branch. But it's hanging on, but it doesn't have the body weight and strength to kind of flick itself back up onto the branch. And because of the tree and all the branches, they just can't quite get to it. Now, the dad was a pastor. He always came up with great ideas. He says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my car. I'm going to get a rope. I'm going to tie the rope around the tree, tie it on the car. I'll get in the car. I'll drive a bit. That'll bring that big branch down. We'll maneuver around and we'll get the little pussycat down. Everyone says, Daddy, Daddy, to the rescue. So Daddy gets his car, gets the rope, ties the rope around the tree, ties it onto the car, gets into the car, begins to drive slowly, slowly. The tree's bending, bending. The car's moving, moving. The tree's bending. The rope snaps. As the rope snaps, the tree flings back and the pussycat goes flying out in the opposite direction. That's the end of the story. Well, stories don't always have a happy ending. 2 weeks later, the pastor was visiting a member of his congregation. Knocked on the door, door opened. She said, oh, pastor, come on in. He walks in. There in the hallway was his little pussycat. It was obvious, but he didn't want to say, that's my little pussycat. So he said, that's a lovely little kitten you've got. Have you had her long? She said, pastor, you are not going to believe this. It was 2 weeks ago. It was a hot, sunny Saturday afternoon. And I was in my garden with my little son, Johnny. And Johnny said, Mummy, 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 please, can we have a kitten? I said, Johnny, we've had this conversation before. We are not going to have a kitten. I've told you, we're not going to have a cat in this house. But Pastor, he pestered me and pestered me. The only thing I could think of doing to get out of it was to say, I tell you what, Johnny, let's kneel down here in the garden. We'll pray to the Lord Jesus. And if the Lord Jesus wants you to send you a kitten, he'll send you a kitten. Pastor, you are not going to believe this. You see, when we pray, coincidences happen. And when we don't, they don't. Right, yeah? Silverwater City, Oxford Falls. Repeat after me. When we pray, coincidences happen. And when we don't, they don't. A NASA director was explaining to a reporter how a module would land on Mars. The reporter asked how the module would return to Earth. That involves a highly complex plan, the director said. It begins with the words, Our Father who art in heaven. Don't use God's name. You know, it's so, so important that we don't use God's name to insult. Secondly, that we don't use God's name to indulge ourselves. Don't use God's name to indulge ourselves. I wonder on how many occasions when we feel we are doing God a favor, we're doing God a favor, where we are in reality taking God's name in vain. There is an assumption that God must be pleased when he hears us praying prayers but have absolutely no interest in following God. We dishonor the name of God if we profess to be that which we are not. I asked somebody what they were going to do over Christmas. And they said, on Christmas Eve, we're going to go to the Christmas Eve midnight mass service. It's a tradition in our family. Okay. Now, I didn't have the courage to read them a bit of the Bible. But if I had a little bit more courage, I would have said, excuse me, could I just read you a little bit from the Bible in response to what you just said? And this is what I would have read. If you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. It is a tradition that we go Christmas Eve and have Mass or communion or midnight, whatever. It's a tradition. We only go once a year, but it's a tradition. Do you know what God says? If you do it because you think it's a tradition, you are going to be smacked with judgment. Oh, my word. That's not good, is it? You know, really, I should have had the balls. Is that an Australian expression here? Yeah. I should have really. Because what? I wouldn't want them to be smacked with God's judgment. Yeah, but can you see how nice we all are? We all think, oh, is that nice? Is that nice? They've gone to midnight Mass. That's nice, isn't it? No, it's not nice. Don't use, you see, to treat God Almighty as a tradition or superstition is to misuse God's name. Don't use God's name to insult. Don't use God's name to indulge ourselves. And thirdly, don't use God's name to intimidate. Thirdly, don't use God's name to intimidate. In other words, playing the God card. Using God's name to justify our own point of view, to bring credibility to our own ideas. And God's name has been invoked to sanction all sorts of evils, such as the Crusades in the Middle Ages, slavery in America, the Nazi agenda in Germany, apartheid in South Africa. Whether it's for war, cars, or for sport, it's wrong. Now, I believe that God does speak today. I do. And I believe that God speaks to me. He speaks to me as an individual. Yet I need to be careful that I don't ever misuse the term God told me. Now, in the Bible, one of the people that wrote a lot of the letters in the New Testament is called Paul, Saint Paul. Okay? And in his letters, if you read his letters, you will see him giving words from God. He'll actually say, this is from God. And then in the next sentence, he'll say, but this bit is from me. He had the ability to discern what was from God and what was from him. In society, when you take someone else's name and you use it for your own purpose, that's called forgery. So we need to be careful not to practice spiritual forgery. Have you twisted the Bible to fit your own ideas and lifestyle? You see, so many people today are doing that. You know, they've chosen a particular way of living, and then what they do is they're basically tearing out pages of the Bible to justify their position. Big question. How do we take God seriously? Well, principle one. I need to be selective with my words. Principle one, I need to be selective with my words. In other words, watch what we say. We need not only to watch our swearing, but we do need also to watch our slang. And we rarely think of the origin of the slang we use. Slang can often be a shorthand version of swearing. You know, a substitute for the stronger stuff. What does the word damn mean? The word damn is an abbreviation of the word damnation. It means to condemn someone to an evil fate. And people will seemingly damn this and damn that and damn you. I heard it. I heard it this week. We were in a store and I heard somebody say it. Do we really want people damned to an evil fate? Words are powerful. And word experts tell us that as history went on, God became, by golly, by gum, gosh. Jesus Christ became for crying out loud. God's name is too holy not to mean anything by that. We are constantly bombarded with profanity from films, magazines, books, friends, even car stickers. And it comes in and unintentionally it becomes part of our vocabulary through what we say, what we write, and what we text. When we say what we please, does what we say please God? When we say what we please, does what we say please God? Silverwater City, Oxford Falls. Repeat after me. When we say what we please, does what we say please God? We are too compromising when it comes to profanity. And we say, it doesn't bother me. It bothers God. It bothers God so much that in the Old Testament, if you did it, the punishment was worthy of death. In some countries, it is still a serious crime to misuse God's name. Decide today not to use the name of God in an irreverent, frivolous, and disrespectful way. I need to be selective with my words. Principle one, I need to be selective with my words. Principle two, I need to be sincere with my actions. Principle two, I need to be sincere with my actions. Let's make sure our life matches what we say and believe. Let's not be hypocrites. And if you are a Christian, make sure your walk is consistent with your talk. The Bible says this in Titus chapter 1. People claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. Do you know anyone like that? Is your belief consistent with your behavior? Someone wrote, I saw this on a poster, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? Jesus said in Matthew 7, not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. Do you want to take God seriously? If you want to take God seriously, then be selective with your words and be sincere in your actions. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus whose name is used so glibly? He is the one who can forgive all our sin. He is the one who wipes away our guilt. He is the one who can heal our deepest hurts and pain. He is the one that can restore our dignity. The name Jesus means Savior. The name of Jesus carries power. People are healed and evil spirits are cast out through the name of Jesus. I've seen it. I've been involved in 3 exorcisms. I've seen it. I have seen the reality of the name of Jesus freeing people from, with severe demonic stuff. In one exorcism that I was involved with, the doors were opening and shutting on their own, slamming themselves. It was just, you could feel the darkness and the evil when we went in to do this exorcism. And then we started speaking the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And I commanded the doors to stop opening and shutting. I went to put my hand like on this person who was completely filled with evil. And it was, as I got near it, it was like steam was coming out. And then we just commanded in Jesus' name, that person just boof, completely changed. They were like a different human being. I've seen it. This is not theory to me. I've seen it. The name of Jesus carries power. John 20, verse 31, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the Jesus. You know, people often say, why Jesus? What about other people? It's like, what about other people? You know, and they ask the question as if we've never thought of it. Oh, I've never thought of that. Listen, if you're walking down a street, you get to the end of the street, it branches into 2. You don't know which way to go, left, right. I don't know. There are 2 men lying there. One's dead, one's alive. Which one would you ask for directions? Stop talking to dead people, because they're not going to speak back to you. The reason we speak to Jesus is because he is alive. He is alive. Jesus, if you read the Gospels, the accounts of the life of Jesus, there's so many different pictures and images that help us understand. So at least we can grasp one of them. He's the bread of life, so that bakers can understand. He's the water of life, so that plumbers can understand. He's the light of the world, so that electricians can understand. He's the cornerstone, so that architects can understand. He's the Son of Righteousness, so that astronomers can understand. He is the hidden treasure, so that bankers can understand. He is the life so that biologists can understand. He is the door so that carpenters can understand. He's the great physician so that doctors and nurses can understand. He is the good teacher so that educators can understand. He is the lily of the valley so that florists can understand. He's the rock of ages so that geologists can understand. He's the true vine so that horticulturalists can understand. He is the righteous one so that judges can understand. He is the pearl of great price so that jewelers can understand. He is wisdom so that philosophers can understand. He is the word so that actors can understand. He is the good shepherd so that farmers can understand. He is the Alpha and the Omega so that scientists can understand. He is the King of Kings so that royalty can understand. He is the way so that traffic wardens can understand. And he is the truth so that politicians can understand. He is the one. The Bible records in Acts chapter 4, salvation is found in no one else. Could that be a little bit clearer? Salvation is found in no one else. Is that a little bit confusing? Oh, I think that's a little bit grey. I don't know. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people by which they must be saved. There is no other name. There is no other name. We are being offered forgiveness from the past, new life today, and a hope for the future. But if we want to have that, we've got to go via King's Cross. There's no other route. We've got to go via the cross of the King. The Bible says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, that is what is called a conditional promise. You do your part, and God says, I will do my part. And God says, I will rescue you if you will believe in my name. When a person receives Jesus as Savior, as Lord, the Bible says that their name becomes eternal and is written in the book of life. That blows my mind. It blows my mind. So on the 9th of February, 1975, when I received Jesus and I began to follow Jesus, my name was written in the book of life. Wow. My name's in the book of life. Is yours? Because if it's not in the book of life, your name is in the book of death. Make sure your name's in the book of life. Start living now. Start living now. Start living your life in the light of eternity. Do you need to call on the name of Jesus? Maybe you do. Those of you in Silver Water, there are some of you there. You've never really called on the name of Jesus with respect. Jesus, I need you. Those of you in the city campus, do you need to call on the name of Jesus? You here, do you need to call on the name of Jesus? Well, in a few minutes, if you do, I will ask you to get up out of your seats, rows, come and stand here and at the front at City and at the front of Silver Water. Do you want to have a relationship with Jesus, the Son of God? If you do, you can this morning. Have you misused God's name to insult, indulge yourself, or to intimidate others? If you have, I'll encourage you to come as well, as your way of saying, Jesus, I don't want to do that. And I want to be kind of set free from this thing that motivates me to do these things. I want you to break it off me so that I can leave today with a greater sense of liberty and cleansing. Are you willing to become more respectful in the way you speak the holy name of God? Is there a gap between your belief and your behavior? Do you know, I have more trouble with J. John than any other person I know. That's why I need to keep going to Jesus. Like pianos, we need frequent tuning. We have a piano. We get it tuned twice a year, at least. I can't believe we never retune our lives. Does your life need retuning? If your life needs retuning, then I urge you and I encourage you. This morning, here in Oxford Falls, Silver Water, City, get
thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.